Actually, I've never been to the brunch in the city.
Yes, where do you guys end at the same time we've been in?
Next week.
What?
Why wouldn't you finish?
Well, class is on the 12th, but I'm here until the 20th. Like the
22nd. Yeah, my final class is the 13th, yeah. But we.
Oh, really? Our classes are over next week.
Well, I'm a hard ass.
I didn't like sneak up on anybody, like it just snuck up on me.
Yes.
And
snuck up on me too.
So we're in this power
Yes, we do.
Well,
no,
I have to come in
just for that. Okay. Where? So, Mike isn't coming today. And, did you get my recent email message?
Yes.
Okay.
I have feelings about it.
About me or the other person?
About both of you.
Okay.
I just need all those feelings.
You know, somebody had to say something.
No, but why do you have to put me in?
How else would I know? Right? I just... through process of osmosis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think you see my predicament. Anyway, Raquel is joining us via Skype. Is she on yet? And Mike won't be joining us, and I think that the rest of us are here, right?
Yeah.
Gina should be here soon, right?
Hi. How are you?
Thank you.
Oh, no, I put
my
video up
right.
Hey, Amanda, did it work?
Hi, Raquel.
My laptop is slow. No worries.
Raquel is attending a attachment and mindfulness workshop in California.
Where in California?
Oh, L.A., she said.
L.A., yeah.
Yes, I did.
You did.
Yep.
I'm gonna turn my video off too, so I'm not.
He didn't send the output. He just sent the output of all of us.
Yeah, I didn't send the correlations.
Did you get there was no attachment.
Yeah, there was an attachment.
Yeah, there was.
Yep.
It took me. I couldn't find
I put two different email addresses for you.
No, I have. I get the email. I just forgot my laptop, and it's like impossible to find them.
Well, I have them on here. So, a couple of things I want to go over before we start in on this 1843. Very good year, my boy.
It's when you were born.
Good one.
It's when I turned 21. Anyway.
I accidentally smudged it, Willie, but this is for
sure. Julie, did you get the... There were some flash drives that had been placed in my mailbox like a couple of weeks ago, and I put them in your mailbox. Okay. Yeah, just make sure you put them in.
I couldn't find your name, not because I can't see. I couldn't even. That's okay. And you were like pouring right there.
Do you want me to show you where it is when you
go? Actually, if you look on the wall next to the door.
No, you know what it was? My flash drives were at that same exact location. The one that I took,
so
I put them there.
Oh,
so hold on.
She put them in my mailbox?
I'm just putting, I figured she would find it a lot easier if I put it where she had placed mine. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. I don't know why she placed it in my mailbox.
She told me she was going to be in yours, though.
What did I do wrong?
No, your flash drive that you left me?
Yeah.
Well, you left it in my mailbox.
Of course, she doesn't have a mailbox.
Exactly.
No, but you could put it in your mailbox.
I could have sworn you were here when she said I left them in Jeff's mailbox.
I don't know. Anyway, I saw these flash drives in my mailbox. I didn't know what they were. And so I just put them in Julia's mailbox, hoping that she knew what they were. And she did.
Apparently I did. I'm still not 100% sure what we're talking about.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get used to it.
That's probably best.
Okay.
So here's a conundrum I have. So we're doing this training. And in order to establish inter-rater reliability, you have to complete the 5 reliability videos, I mean, especially for you, but for everybody, the 5 reliability videos at 0.7 or above. You've done 1. Okay, the first one was practice. This one would counts toward your reliability. And so you've done 1. So between this week and next week, you will have done 2. And then between next week and the 15th, you will have done 3. That leaves 2 more. The problem is I feel very uncomfortable waiting until the middle of January to resume reliability training and establishment, because you forget, you know, you drift, and I'm worried that you're not going to be able to get back up to snuff on the final 2. So I just want to find out whether you guys would be willing, able, interested in meeting, like twice in 1 week, or doing 2 videos in 1 week, or
before finals.
Winter finals.
Like starting next week.
I'll be bold and say I feel less comfortable. I would rather take it and do them 1 per break and then set the line.
The problem with that option is that I'm very concerned that people are not going to make the cutoff, and then just, you know, then you have to do additional videos, and then you won't be able to actually code real videos until you actually get reliable. And so I want to schedule a time when we can all talk about each video after you've coded it, so that you can benefit from the training that you get as a result of the talking. Does that make sense?
I have a question about something else. Sorry.
What time's the party, the holiday party?
Six o'clock. But no one goes right on time.
Oh, we're going to end early, aren't we?
What?
Did I say that?
I guess we have that time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
No, I don't plan on ending early.
For a holiday party?
I think being very realistic, to do 2 this upcoming week might be a bit challenging. The following week could be okay. We just have something every day.
Yeah.
I'm first year.
I hear you.
Yeah. No, I just totally.
I already feel slightly overwhelmed. Slightly.
So let's say next week we meet on Thursday the 8th.
Yeah.
And the following week we meet like on Tuesday evening the 13th and Thursday afternoon / evening the 15th.
So Tuesday, but we have
lab.
Supervision.
Well, Tuesday the 13th, I don't know if we actually have lab.
So we can move it around.
Okay, do you know that I also have my other?
I think
Tuesday.
Yes,
evenings.
I do know.
Yeah. Do we have to have a lab for every video that we
yes.
do?
Yes. Mandatory.
That's part of the training. Like
that's part of the training.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't clear on that.
Yep.
And then is there like a mandated time? Like, we can't talk about 2 videos in 1 lab.
Would anyone be available to do like 1 hour during the lunch break? Because,
do you know our schedule?
I don't know our schedule.
For what?
I mean, we could just run downstairs and check it on the board. But because I know,
well,
know if you are. Sorry, I just offered that idea, but I don't know if you would be available.
Sure.
For 1 hour.
I'm happy to look. I want
to
make this work.
Right now.
What about a conference call?
A conference call?
Mm-hmm.
Like on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've never done a group Skype chat.
I wouldn't even bother with the video.
Yes,
I don't know how
iPad.
But I think it would be like if we all were looking at the same thing, and then if the audio worked, then that could create some
what
possibility.
What do people think of that idea?
I feel good. When would this be?
Would I be the one to set that up? Because if that is, I need to start doing research on it.
No, I know how to do it. I've done this. I've done that before.
Okay.
actually have an account and everything to do that.
This is just for me, but doing two CPQs this week is...
No, not this week.
So when are we, even next week is like...
Okay, well, we're talking about it.
Yeah, no. So that's why I'm putting in my viewpoint. For me, I don't think that's workable.
What's your schedule like for the 14th or the 13th?
For a meeting, not a sort.
Well, talking about a sort.
Yeah, for the 14th, first years have 2 finals.
On the 14th?
On the 14th.
Okay. All right.
And then on the 15th, we have a final paper due.
It feels pretty nonstop until Wonderbridge.
Okay, what about one on the 20th and one on the 22nd?
Of December?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Skype one? Because I'm out of the country.
Full conference.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, we can definitely... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, we have 4 more. So we would do one next week.
Yeah.
One
for the 15th.
Could we possibly do, I don't know if we have the time, could we do...
So I'm proposing one on the 20th and one on the 22nd. Can people do that? All right, well, it's negotiable.
Maybe we can do like a doodle to set up the specific time. Just because I don't know.
Okay. Julie, you want to do that? A doodle poll?
Sure.
For the 20th and the 22nd.
December 22nd?
Yeah.
For coming in or for conference
call? No, conference call.
So then that means that we would have to do the second because we want to meet and then code the stuff. So we want to meet and we have to do it on the 20th.
Or the 21st.
Or the 21st.
Yep.
And then send it to you the 21st.
And I get on the 22nd. We can.
Do you want a specific time, by the way? I'm sorry.
No, she's going to send a doodle poll out.
No, I mean, when you ask for the Q sort.
I say 10 p.m. the night before, but, yeah.
She's having a child care.
Okay.
That's what I
think. Sorry,
so what's the consensus? The 20th and the 22nd works for most people?
Remotely? Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Julie's going to send out a doodle poll for the times on the 20th and the 22nd. And then we're all done before the holidays for the training.
Unless you don't meet the goal, right. And you're saying both 20th and 22nd would be remote, would not be run.
Right.
And so you can't do like a back-to-back meeting on the 15th.
A back-to-back?
Well, you'd have to have
how would you do that?
Done by then. Right. So in like school optimism.
No, but it wouldn't work, Julia, because...
Oh,
see,
yeah.
part of the reason for meeting is to benefit from the
training
that we're receiving
right.
For the following.
Do it right after. So doing it on one day isn't feasible.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so Julie's going to send that out. And that solves that. Now, the second issue is that the last time I trained LIU students on this instrument was about 10 years ago or so. And, due to my own therapy, I'm a different person now. I used to be a little less sensitive, if you can believe that. And I used to actually post everybody's reliabilities in an email message every week, and I'd send it out. And it would foster a little bit of what I thought was healthy intra-team competition, which would spur people on to really high levels of reliability. But I'm a different person now. I'm not that person anymore. And so I don't want to do that because I think it could potentially be humiliating for people. So I'm not going to do that. But on the other hand, I don't want to send out 10 email messages every week telling people what their reliabilities are. So what do you guys recommend?
Why don't you assign us all numbers like you did in Child?
Okay. Would you like me to do that?
Yeah.
Do you still do that with them?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Everybody okay with that?
So, to explain, do you understand what we just said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's someone going to tell me my number, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the only,
yeah.
Okay.
Right. So, I will work on that for the next time. So, I will send out 10 email messages tonight, but I won't need to do that in the future because you'll remember your code, and I will send out the reliabilities in one email message with all the reliabilities using your code numbers. How does that sound? Right. Okay. So, how did people feel about this week's video? And just in general.
I like the therapist a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw what they saw. It was, yeah.
Angel did him?
We, Angel and I didn't watch that session. That's
no, not the
was.
Session, but the kid?
Yeah, that's the kid we coded.
Yeah, I did it twice. I watched the video twice.
He's
such a cutie.
He's so cute.
Yeah. He's really cute. That's what I kept saying. I was like, the kid's so cute. He's like, oh, I am.
He knows this Thomas
is
a dream. Why is that
not? He's a scripted that one.
Oh, maybe if I opened it in VLC. Well, you like the kid, okay, but how about ease of coding? Has coding become more familiar to you?
Would it be possible to, like, I feel like I will have, like, learn more from this conversation if I have a sense of what my reliability was. Like, is there a way that, like, we can look at that now or, like, just,
well,
like, write it?
How do you want me to do it?
I'm comfortable if my name's attached to this.
I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah.
No. We're not going to do that.
Why don't,
I just don't feel comfortable.
Why don't we?
You want me to? Okay, so give me 10 pieces of paper. 9 pieces of paper.
Does that make sense? Because like I feel like if I think I did really well and I'm like, oh, I got it, then, or if I think I did really poorly, yeah.
Okay.
Why
suddenly
can't
count? Okay, I just give
you
one. I can't
talk
or swallow
or
I'm
not
walking. Do you remember Tanner? I'm sorry, when I
wear my retainer.
He's still wearing
a retainer.
Invisalign.
Okay. Invisalign.
Okay.
Well,
you have Invisalign right now?
Yeah.
I think
I
can.
No,
it's like, it looks like Invisalign.
Oh, okay.
It gets so gross, though.
I
didn't remember I told you the number.
Twice a year, I asked her if she would mind like spraying it.
That's
the only way to clean it.
Yeah.
Because I don't have those tools.
Yeah.
I never wear a container. I never ever.
I feel like if I don't wear it for too long, like,
I feel loose, but then I got that.
I have successfully made noodle cookies before.
Okay.
No, he's just written everyone's name and you'll see.
Oh, no, I understand.
Right.
Here,
attached to
it.
And you tell it's not mine.
Oh, you're talking to Kel.
Yeah,
you're talking to me.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I thought I was talking to her. I was like,
hi, Raquel.
So people can hear you if you talk. They haven't muted it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I've learned how to pull up the speakers.
We need to pull them out.
My parents are
using like weird scale.
This is what I'm
the way you're supposed to like pull it out for it to stick on like the paper.
You're
probably supposed to pull a post-it. I don't know. It makes a huge difference on whether it stays flat or not. Like, you know,
thank
you're just like,
oh my god, that.
But she did it from like the sticky side.
Items.
Like the cream of the sticky side. I don't even know. I just thought it was like, I didn't know the exact way you're supposed to pull out a post-it.
I didn't know either. Apparently.
Oh, pulling out from
the
pack?
Yeah, from the stack.
Oh, it's not.
There's
like,
a, yeah, so
like
you take it from like the plastic.
Sorry,
like,
I didn't
not stick
it.
You have to stick it. I should take it like, from here and like bring it out. And she takes it from like the sticky part and like.
I thought reliable was 0.7.
I see the issue.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
That's you. I've made myself successfully in the past.
Wait, what?
But I realize now what my issue is.
Only can go up from here, Tommy. Thank you.
No, I
think
I
can.
I actually thought this one was much more difficult.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought it was a good thing. So for those of us that were not reliable,
yep.
Do we have to do another video?
No, I thought I'd explain this.
You might have done.
I'm going to take all five videos, your reliabilities, and average them. And the average has to be above
0.7. For each individual person, right?
Yes. So if you had a low, like really low, like 0.55, for example, it's going to be difficult to reach the 0.7 even with four more videos to go. Think about what you'd need to get to bring up the 0.55 to 0.7 after 5. So the reliability is going to have to really improve dramatically for the next 4 if that was your particular score, for example. Like I sent the – you can see the range of scores in the message I sent. Did everybody get that message?
Yeah.
So you can see it ranges from 0.81 to 0.55. There's a lot of variability there.
Pardon me?
Hey, you're joining our lab.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, sorry.
I don't know why I can't make a little bowl.
This is
I'm going to ask her.
Do you need help?
No, it's okay. Thanks, though.
That was me.
All right, so tell Raquel I just sent her. Reliability. Okay, you got it? Okay. All right, so moving right along. It's just such a time waster. All right, so this is not blinded. You can see the ratings.
Yeah.
So, would we like to take a look at specific items that you have questions about? Would you like to see what are like wild discrepancies among everybody's?
Yeah, wild discrepancies.
Wild discrepancies for 200. Yeah.
Can I borrow? I don't know if you have it there. Just what all the item list.
You mean this?
Is that what you have?
Yes.
I just assumed. Is that, yeah. Are the items on there?
Yeah, yeah.
Cause just so I can follow along.
Well, this is my copy, but then
oh, no,
I don't have a copy.
It. No, you keep it.
I'll look at item 7.
You emailed it to me, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I emailed it to everybody. Item 7. Child is curious and tense. So the gold standard is 0.25 or 2.5. And we have a lot of variability here. We see Sarah, Lily, and Anna had it rated it very. Wait. Where am I?
I think you're on 8.
Okay. So Lily scored it very high.
Yeah.
And Sarah, Anna, and Amanda were more in the ballpark.
Where Child is Curious, right?
Hey, Anna, do you mean...
No, Child is Anxious and Tense.
Oh, not... What time, Anna? Which one? Engine.
But,
oh,
7.
Are you also
in
is
it,
yeah. No, my name is Aria.
Yeah, you're on the page.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
Here you are.
Yeah.
I wasn't...
There are two
A's.
There
name.
Are two A's.
My whole life there's been two A's.
two A's.
So this variable 0001... You guys had asked me to place the gold standard in both.
Oh, you also put yours there. Sorry.
Huh?
You also put yours. No,
GD?
That's me.
That's me. I saw the G and I got excited.
My name's Jeff Goodman.
Yeah.
And,
I'll be quiet now. Sorry.
So, okay, so the item is 7. Is the child is curious and tense?
No,
child is
anxious and tense.
Anxious and tense.
And
tense.
You guys, I had sent everybody the.
Yeah.
Can you pull that up? Your
yeah.
Your items.
People did not think he was anxious.
No.
I totally thought he was anxious.
Thank you.
People really like
him. Yeah, Raquel assigned it a 7, but you know, you and Lily Raquel were in the minority.
Totally.
Wait, so I'd be so interested to like hear people.
Do people have their notes? Do people take notes?
Yeah.
Let's make this more formal. Amanda has like copious notes. I love it.
When he started out, they made it clear that he was really excited. You know, he was like really happy because he just made a new friend.
Like excited, right? But she had sort of like named it as excited and happy, and I was like more aware of the like really pressured speech, and like there was just kind of like a
like frenetic.
Yeah, it's just kind of this.
Do
like,
you have a particular minute that I can go to on the video that we can do that?
I can look at the transcript because that's where I took my notes.
But it may also be hard with this particular child because he has a way of communicating and talking and sort of his like body behaviors that I think could, I can see how they could come across as anxious.
Me too.
But you know what I'm trying to say?
I think given
no, he doesn't know what I'm trying to say. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's like it's not like a moment. I don't think that anyone like coded. I would assume, like, coded whatever they did. It's not a moment, like, throughout. Like, his behavior's pretty, like, consistent in this domain. And I think it's, like, considering his other sort of symptoms or, like, behaviors, that you can conclude that it's not anxiety. I mean, because he seems like Asperger. I mean, he is, seems like Asperger.
We're not diagnosing right now.
No, we're not.
But she's
but
saying that those
the pattern
are
of behavior
by something that's not anxiety, and that's sort of, I guess.
So how do you make the determination between what's anxiety and what's something else?
The rest, I don't know. Like,
see, diagnosis is a shorthand, right? It's a shorthand way of describing
right.
somebody, but let's unpack that a little bit.
I thought that, like, because I, it said place toward uncharacteristic direction if the child hears calm and relaxed while addressing uncomfortable topics. So I figured, like, in the context of him talking about the moving and the evil brother, he was relaxed, like, given that. So that's why I kind
of... So even when under stress, you don't see the outward signs of anxiety. Mm-hmm. Fidgetiness, stuttering.
Given, if you go to, like, the most extreme example in the video and then see if it applies under that, that's, like, a good way to test some of the items.
That's raising a different question that I had, and sorry if I asked this already, but, like, I struggled to kind of figure out how much of the play I should, like, in that situation, right, like, it was in the play. Like, we don't know that this, we technically don't really know that this is indicative of his stressors. So, but at the same time, right, so I'm just, like, not, we all, like, kind of agree that what, like, that makes sense. That's a good way of reasoning. So I'm just not really clear on how you're supposed to interpret the play. And you're
which item are you referring to?
Can you maybe explain it better than I just did?
Did you hear that? Can you explain it?
Wait, are you still on item 7, or are you talking about a different item?
I'm talking in the item 7, but it's a general question about the CPQ.
Just like, how do we interpret play is, I believe, the question. Do we interpret it as stressors that are going on in his life, or...
I remain agnostic about that.
Yeah. So we kind of just take it at face value.
Yeah. Now, if you're a therapist and you're psychodynamically oriented, you're going to assume that the play is a reflection of both environmental stressors going on in his life plus fantasy elements mixed in. But I don't really care about any of that. I'm just looking at the play at face value.
But then when you, like, think of an item like the...
Okay, well, let's go to a specific item.
Okay. Sorry, we're not finished with this one. I can leave.
Are we finished with item 7? Lily?
Yeah, I think Amanda's feedback was helpful.
Okay.
I had a hard time with that one, though.
But can I just go back to that? Then that's exactly...
This last question relates to how I coded item 7. I think I interpreted the themes of this play as anxiety. Like, moving over and over again.
Okay,
and
so...
someone coming to destroy the world.
Fine.
I interpreted those things as anxiety.
That would be incorrect. Because... him blowing up the world... I mean, plenty of antisocial people who could fantasize blowing up the world and sit back with their legs up on their desk and just, I'd like to blow up the world right now. Man, I'm tired. Right?
Yeah.
And we would say, well, that guy's antisocial, but there's no anxiety. So it doesn't matter what the play themes are. It's how he comports himself that really determines how you would place that particular item 7.
You explained it really well last year, because we basically had the same issue last year. It's like, you know, we're all training to be clinicians, so we look at this and we want to interpret, but we have to really remember to just look at it objectively and take it at face value. You know, it's interesting for us separately to be like, you know, he's blowing up the world, what might that mean? But when we're doing the Q sort, it doesn't matter what it means. It matters what his behavior is.
Right.
I don't know that. So part of me is like, okay, well then I shouldn't have been looking at the content, because I, similar to Raquel, was seeing all this sort of the
exactly. Look, let me show you something. Oh, it's not on this one. It should say the child psychotherapy process cue set. It's a process measure. It's not a content measure. We're looking at the process of therapy, not the content. Don't get caught up so much in the content of things.
Right.
So the content of his play could be destructive. It could be, doesn't matter. What's the process going on? What is his demeanor? How is he behaving? What's his mood?
Yeah. So what I was going to say was that I think that, so they're saying, so, okay, great, so we are not looking at the content, but I also thought that the process, I thought the devoid of content, I thought his delivery was very anxious. So I don't really have much of a foothold then if we're not supposed to be looking at content. And I thought this sort of excitability to me came off of as anxiety of like, I don't know how I feel, like, yeah. Like that, this energy in it to me felt very anxious.
Do you have specific times that you want us to look at together?
So, do people have the transcript?
I don't think we have the transcript.
Yeah,
I sent it to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was so helpful.
It's so
it was really helpful.
So you, it's interesting.
I watched it.
But you didn't look at the transcript? Maybe it's a hindrance to reliability. Yeah. So do you have a page? You have a transcript page?
So on the first page, it says, okay, I'm going to do drawing. I wrote that he seems anxious. And then
what page are you on?
The first page.
Okay.
About
I hope people didn't Q-sort just based on the transcript. No. Right? Everybody watched the video? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't look at the transcript because I thought that it wasn't something in the future that we would have. So I didn't want to become...
Oh, you didn't look at the transcript.
I didn't even touch it because...
You'll have transcripts for all of the reliability tapes. You won't have transcripts beyond. But
so that's what I was thinking. Like I don't, for me personally,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want it to become a crutch.
Let it become a crutch for now, anyway.
But then I'm worried that I'll become less reliable after I gave my reliability. Does that make sense?
I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
I don't think it will. The transcripts are just designed because some of these tapes are hard to hear.
Really, you're just looking at it. You can't understand what's
going on. Exactly.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought some
it's
people
not...
were reading it. I didn't see.
So I watched, like, you know how it was three parts that
mm-hmm.
it was divided? I watched a part, and I, like, quickly skimmed just to make sure I understood, watched a part, skimmed. I didn't, like, have them side by side.
I'll tell you why I had these transcribed, because I first did this workshop in London in 2012, and people complained. These were mostly English speakers, that they couldn't understand some words, and they had difficulty Q-sorting because some of the words weren't clear to them. So when I conducted the workshop in 2013 in Brazil, I made sure that all of these five reliability recordings were transcribed to avoid any kind of ambiguity about what people were saying in the video. And they were Brazilians, and so English was not their first language anyway. So I wanted to make it as easy as possible to help them understand specific words. It's not designed to help you code. It's only designed to help you hear some words that are difficult. I hired the best people with the most acute hearing, with special headphones, to be able to make out every single word in the transcription so that you have this. You won't have the benefit of that, but hopefully the recordings that you will be Q-sorting are going to be of higher audio quality. You won't need a transcript. So that's the purpose behind the transcription. It's not a crutch. I don't see it that way. I mean, if you don't want to use it, that's okay. But if you don't understand some words and those words are crucial for coding, you know, your reliability is going to suffer. And we want everybody to be a 0.7 or above. So, as your mean reliability score. Anyway, page one, Lily, you said there was something on this page that made you indicated to you that the child was anxious.
So just looking at my notes, I didn't write like timestamps
okay.
for the transcript, but I noted that when he says, "Okay, I'm going to do drawing." He seems anxious. It just seems to me, like, I don't know. If we're not using, like, diagnostic terms, then
I really want to avoid using diagnostic terms. Has this been...
Yes,
since,
right.
This is it?
Do you want me to count the light?
Light. And that looked like excitement and exuberance to me. He's smiling. You know, when someone's anxious, they're not typically smiling. It's not a happy feeling.
Unless you use humor.
But see, then you're overthinking it. Now, right now, I don't know if he's anxious. I can't see him. He's smiling.
Like that kind of manner.
What?
When he did this, I think she said.
Okay. You seem to have a lot of energy. I agree with that. I don't see that as anxiety. He's excited. She asked him if he's happy. He said, yeah, and I would agree with that. I think he's happy. He's happy to be in therapy.
And again, we're not in the position to be like, I don't actually think he's happy. That's what we're taking at face value. Like Jeff always says to me, like, don't rely on your counter transference.
Don't what?
Don't rely on your counter transference.
Not for this,
for
anyway,
this.
But in therapy.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Yeah, you might have a gut feeling that underneath all of this happiness and exuberance, this is a very anxious, troubled boy. Please don't go there. We don't know that. You might have a hunch. Let's just stick with the manifest content. All right? Now, if you're my supervisee next year, you're going to hear a very different message from me, but I will not be knowing you in a coder role. I'll be knowing you in a supervisee role, right?
Correct.
Totally different advice.
Yeah, he always says, let's look at the counter transference.
Right. Here I'm saying never look at the counter transference. This is a different... The reason is that your counter transference might differ from her counter transference, might differ from her counter transference. And then when we all go to code, we get three very different views of this kid. And there's nothing we can anchor our perceptions on. If we stick to the surface, the manifest content, we're much more likely to have reliability. That's why clinical measures are notoriously difficult to establish reliability on. Clinical measures often rely, you know, these very rich, complex measures often rely on our own subjective experience of the person. And that can vary from person to person, sometimes very widely. So if we can eliminate that and just take the surface and talk about that, that tends to boost reliability, especially with the clinical types of rating coding systems. So are we finished with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What other items do people want to talk about? And if nothing stands out, we can just go through the list and see where everybody's wildly discrepant. I think that's what Sarah wanted to do.
Yeah.
Anyone have any items that you say, damn it, I don't know where this goes. I wish I could figure it out. I don't know. It's too complicated. Were there any items like that that stand out?
There were just a lot of items for me that
just
belong in the middle. And you know, and it's hard when it gets to that point, because you have to decide
what goes in the extremes.
What goes in, or not even the extremes were not hard for me at all.
Extremes are the easiest part.
Figure out the extremes.
Okay.
It's the
from
like,
4 to 6?
Yeah.
Let me give you a little advice on 4 to 6.
They don't drive.
4 to 6 don't drive the reliability. If you have an item in 4 and it really belongs in 6 or vice versa, it's not going to matter worth a hill of beans, really. I wouldn't fret over piles 4 to 6. What you need to really focus on are piles 1 to 3 and 7 to 9. That's what really drives the distribution and how it gets correlated with the gold standard. items 1 to 3 and 7 to 9. If you're fretting about 4 to 6, you're not doing it right. I mean, I would prefer that you place every item where you think it belongs and focus on the 4 to 6 as well. I mean, every little point counts, right, when we're trying to establish reliability. But it's really not the big driver of your distribution. It's piles 1 to 3 and 7 to 9. And especially what piles 1 and 9. Those are really the most important
those
piles.
Those are always the easiest piles.
Great. Well, your reliability reflects that.
What I sometimes feel is hard, especially in sessions where so much just doesn't even occur, is that sometimes, you know, so there are 50 in the 3 middle piles, you know, all together. And sometimes you have more than 50 things that you feel belong in the middle.
Yeah,
piles.
And then you've got to force them into piles 3 and 7. It is hard.
Yeah.
I don't have any advice for that.
Yeah. You just have to rest.
So, Dr. Goodman, do you, after you do the initial, you gave us the rule of thumb of having like twice as many.
Yep.
And then on either side.
Yes.
Then do you sort from the extremes towards the middle then?
What do you do?
I take the left pile. And I Q-sort that, right? And if I have too few items, I have to borrow from the middle pile. And if I have too many, I throw them into the middle pile.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to the right pile.
Okay.
I Q-sort that and either borrow or throw away in the middle pile. And then my last pile is the middle pile that I do.
Okay. Makes sense.
That's how I do it. There's no one way to do it, but my experience has borne out that aids in reliability doing it that way. Any other specific items?
I have a question.
Yes.
So this is about 18.
18.
It's like a specific. There's just a question basically I have about like kind of how you sort this because it came up for me in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So the item is therapist is judgmental and conveys lack of acceptance.
Right.
Therapist wasn't judgmental, obviously, and she wasn't judgmental in the last video. But I sorted it as, so I sorted it as 4 and the gold standard had 1.5. So I obviously agree that she wasn't judgmental, but for me, basically, like, it just wasn't really that important. So that's why it ended up for me in 4 versus in 1 or 2.
Okay, so did the kid create an environment or an atmosphere in which maybe another therapist hypothetically might have acted judgmentally?
In my opinion, no. And like I'm following your train of thought exactly. So like, for example, in the one we watched last week with the kid jumping on the stuff and whatever, that would be, it was more salient in that case than in this case where that kind of behavior was not going on. So the therapist needing to be judgmental of that or non-accepting of that type of behavior, whatever, was not as much of an issue.
What about his, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, right?
I hear what you're saying.
I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, in the beginning, what we just observed.
Right.
He's jumping around, running around the room. Like, you're having a bad day. You might say, hey, can you calm down with the running around? Just sit in your chair.
I mean, like, maybe you shouldn't have gone into therapy. Like,
something that I think is,
ouch.
You know, like, with a kid like this who has so much trouble identifying his feelings, you know, she's very patient.
She's very
with
patient.
Him
right.
Around, you know, she'll ask him what he's feeling, and he'll always say, I don't know. And I think, you know, there was possibility there for her to be a little bit more overt. She's extraordinarily patient.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with that.
But
I guess particularly why this has come up, just because in the uncharacteristic description is, for example, problematic behavior of the child is explored while still conveying to the child that she is worthy. So was not really going on because there wasn't problematic behavior that was being explored.
Right.
So I guess that is what is really like kind of causing an issue. Obviously, I understand the examples that we're talking about, which are not talking about problematic behavior, but because the example here is specifically problematic behavior, which is not going on. Yeah. I guess I'm kind of seeing like, what, you know, why can't it be?
Yeah, I don't think four is that problematic. You know, like, you're only 2.5 away from the gold standard.
So what is where do you, because I thought you said last time, 3 is problematic, so 2.5 is like close to 3, so what do you want from me, Dr. Ritter? What do you want?
Within 2, you're 2.5. It's, okay. I'm not going to.
But 3 is no good.
3, we need to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
If you're within 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is such a, you know, in spite of how we're trying to make this as objective as possible,
it's
an incredibly subjective instrument.
Yeah.
Which is, makes it notoriously difficult to establish reliability.
Yeah,
on.
I would imagine. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other items before I look through and pick out some?
56.
56.
The child is distant from his or her feelings.
All right.
Okay.
I see items, ratings ranging from 1 to 6.
7.
Oh, and there's a 7. 2 sevens.
Yeah.
So 1 to 7. Wow. Okay. So let me look at this.
And the gold standard is 1?
56. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So that means,
does
it sound?
It's 1?
No, there's a 1. It means all of them.
Or 2.
Was it 2 people that
two.
Are the gold standard?
This time
yeah,
is 2.
Two.
Okay, so
it was 4 in the previous, but it's only 2 for the remainder. It's the mean of 2 people. Child is distant, and so if it's a 1, then by definition, both people said put 1.
Right.
So I'm pretty confident. These were highly trained people who I used.
This is item
56. 6. So child is distant from his or her feelings. If it's all the way in uncharacteristic, its affect and import are apparent, but well modulated and balanced by cooler material, or if child expresses sharp affect or outbursts of emotion and deeply felt concern. What did you put?
Not sure. I can't see the...
Chana, you put 7, because I also put 7. They're the same
major. I think I put it in 3.
You put it in 3. So the 7s, it displays little concern or feeling, generally flat, impersonal, or half-heartedly indifferent. I mean, I just watched 2 minutes of this video? He's not demonstrating little concern or feeling. He's not generally flat, impersonal, or half-heartedly indifferent. This guy is excited. He's jammed. He's ready to do it.
But he is impersonal about his own feelings. Because every time the therapist asks him, how do you feel? I don't know. When every time she asks him an exploratory question to try to relate the play to his own feelings, he won't answer. He can't do that. He just like circumvents the question or just doesn't respond to it.
That's why I put it in a 3.
So like I hear you because I did the same thing.
Okay.
Like, I know.
But child displays. It doesn't say child verbalizes.
Yeah.
Child displays. That means behavior.
Although he can't really identify his feelings, you can see his affect.
Yeah.
He's super excited, jumping on.
This is a behavioral item. It's not a verbal item.
It doesn't really matter like what he says for this item. There
right.
are ones that it talks about what the child verbalizes.
This is truly a procedural behavioral item.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly the kind of training that I want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of clarifications of items. So that's exactly the kind of question I want.
I mean, it wasn't my question, Chani.
Oh, okay.
But I did the same thing. So.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, I feel like I just, like, took it away from you. Did you have more?
No, but what I was thinking, I get it. I totally get where I went wrong here. But,
So can you two come down to a three?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't go to a one, which is what it was, though.
Okay.
Like, I thought,
You're not convinced by the fact that two independent, highly trained raiders both gave this kid a one on this.
Because, like, who are they? They're not gods. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, I have to get to a one because of them.
The reason why is because you only have five cards that can be.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Most busting everyone's chops a little bit.
What?
You're busting everyone's chops a little bit. I don't know if they know that.
We know.
You know?
Okay. We've busted.
I would talk to these bulls of
Where the hell are these people?
I
can tell you who they are. I'd have to look it up, but.
Well, what I would ask them is, why would you prioritize this card over many others?
Yeah.
Because
right.
I thought that the pile of one card, I think that the extremes I generally don't have many issues with.
Yeah,
and
right.
So
right.
This to be a one seems.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that the five items that you did place in pile one are so much more salient than this item.
And so I think that's why I'm three, sure, I'm there.
Okay. All right, so you're within two. I'm happy with that.
As a general comment, the absence of a behavior is hard to have be a one of salience. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it has to be so glaringly obvious that this has to be there. It has to be discussed for it to be a one, you know,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to it as a behavior that's there and so inappropriate or so,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, that's why Celeste wrote very nice descriptions of what uncharacteristic means. And so if you ever have a question, just read the uncharacteristic.
I know, but sometimes I don't like this. I don't agree with it. It's a hard one.
You don't agree?
That happens a lot, but...
I know, it's still challenging, though, because you're like, that's, like, uncomfortable, or that's weird, it, like, doesn't sit right with me. Like,
with the item doesn't sit right with
you? Or you just, like, even when we talk about it, like, it's normal. Like, it's like, I understand it, but it doesn't mean that necessarily it makes sense logically to me or how I viewed the situation. Like, when I'm sure Lily understood when you explained why the kid wasn't anxious, but she made it seven for a reason. Or, you know, when you put it as such an extreme from it, there's, like, a reason you do that. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's just, like, it's challenging because it's so subjective.
Yep.
It's like, I get you logically, but I'm also, like...
What I'm asking for is just, let's all live in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right?
I have another one as well.
Which one?
I have 54.
54.
Child is clear and organized in verbal expression.
Okay, 54.
I did not think that the child was clear or organized.
Mm-hmm. So 54. So
his talk was very stilted.
Uh-huh.
And I had to refer to the transcript a couple of times, which made me think it wasn't clear or organized.
Yeah, it was
100%.
Now, are you referring to his verbal expression or the thought represented by the verbal expression?
Not the verbal expression.
See, this item is geared toward looking at the thought behind the verbal expression. Are his thoughts organized and fluent? Not whether he can speak diction-wise. I am speaking very clearly right now. That is not what the item is measuring.
So
it's measuring the thought behind the verbal expression. Does that make sense?
So are there some, like, buzzwords or, like, indications of, like, which ones are about content and which ones are not?
They're all process items.
But it's not the process of his verbal expression.
Yeah, the process of his thought.
Right, but...
Rather than, I guess, like, his speech. You know, when we say verbal expression, we're thinking about...
I'll give you one example, and it should be clear to everyone. Stephen Hawking would get a 9 on 54.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it clear?
Yeah. No, it makes it. What I'm having trouble sort of discerning is, it seems like a lot of times when there's something that's disputed, the answer is either, well, you need to have a more behavioral focus. And then sometimes the explanation as to why there's disagreement was, well, you need to, it wasn't behavioral, it was what he was saying, because
I'm waiting for the roses to bloom in spring. Oh, this light is just too bright for me. Oh, what did you do yesterday, Julia? I'm clear. The verbal expression is clear, but my thoughts, that's very easily coded.
Right. So I'm trying to zoom out from this specific item for a second and just express, does it make sense what I'm saying? That it seems like sometimes the answer is, oh, less content, more process. And other times it seems to be the inverse. So I'm having trouble reading in these prompts, when is it about something more behavioral or like the way that you speak versus something that's more content. Like we just said not to look at the content of the play. And
right.
Then now we're saying, look at the content of his verbal expression.
What I just gave you, the example I just gave you, is process. It's not content. How did I speak to you? I spoke to you very tangentially.
But that's the content.
That's not content. It's the process of the thoughts. The thoughts aren't connected to each other. That's process. That's not content.
Like it doesn't, the content would be, he asked, Julia, what did you do? Or like, look, there's a window. That's the content. But the process is the fact that
the sequence of those thoughts don't make any sense. It's tangential.
But that's related to the content because the content of those three things don't have to do with each other.
Right, but the content
could be
anything.
Right, like if I didn't understand English and you said that, the delivery is not inherently disjointed. If I didn't understand the words you were speaking, but I was hearing the audio, it wouldn't seem disjointed. But because I understand the words, and I understand that this topic is not related to this topic, but that's.
But see, it's not content. See, it's topic. This topic is not related. This topic is not content. Content would be like, we're talking about botany. I mentioned roses in the spring.
Right.
That's where the content is botany. It could be any content. If it doesn't, if my thoughts don't follow one from the other, it could be any content. It's not content focused. It's process focused. I think the confusion here is what's content and what's process.
It's sort of like how he's thinking about things versus what is he thinking. Like
it's not a specific topic. It could be any topic I'm talking about. But how do I talk about topics? I talk about them in a very disjointed way. That's not content focused, that's process focused.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps at all.
We'll see you next week.
Okay. Anyone else can help me explain it better? Or is everyone equally confused?
I'm confused.
You're confused?
Can you explain the item specifically? So when I do this next week, what am I looking for in the child, how they speak? What is this about? So it's about how...
Are they conveying a logical... What's it say? It says, easily understandable, relatively clear, and fluent. Are the thoughts logically presented? Do they make sense?
Okay.
Is it word salad? Is it...
Right, so to me, that is a content question, which is why I don't understand the whole conversation.
It's not a content question, but...
Do what you just did, like say the many topics, and then replace the topics. You'll see that the rating for the for this item doesn't change, but the content of what he said changed, you know? You know what I'm trying to say?
I read Carlin a bedtime story last night, and then she got up, how was Berkeley? You went to Berkeley a couple weeks ago. Was it okay? Sarah, we're meeting on Tuesday with the rest of the group for the coding team, right?
So you see how that content was completely different than what he said before, but I would still...
But it's the same thing. It's the same tangentiality. So it's content-free. in a sense. It's the process of being disjointed and skip flitting from topic to topic that's the problem. It's not organized.
Okay.
My thoughts now are organized, directed toward this item. But I could be talking about anything, and I'm usually pretty organized in the way I speak. But not every kid you see in coding is going to be present their ideas in an organized fashion. It doesn't matter whether I stutter or whether I draw out my consonants like this kid does sometimes. My thoughts could still remain organized in spite of the articulation or the delivery. This item is not about delivery. It's about the organization of the thoughts.
As a side note, can you share with us what his speech issue is?
Well,
and what would you call? Was it?
I don't want to influence anybody's coding for the remaining three sessions.
Are we coding him?
Okay.
But
yes.
It's all
him. Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm not going to give you any information about this kid. I can give you the information after we're done with all five videos.
Oh.
You understand?
Yeah,
so,
I just had no idea that
yeah.
it was the same kid.
Yeah.
But then he's super cute.
He stays super cute.
Okay. So I don't know if that... Anna.
Our question. So the aspect of clear here would be whether it's clearly different topics that he's discussing, or that because it's not his, he's verbally clearly expressing himself. It's more like clearly he's progressing through different organized manners of the topics or speech, because this clear is like throwing me off a little bit.
Well, does he make sense? Is he understandable? Forgetting the speech impediment, is he understandable? Are his thoughts understandable?
Okay.
That's what we're trying to get at. And the gold standard coders said, generally, yeah. 6.5, almost characteristic. You know, he is only 6.
Yeah.
So.
I have one more.
Yes. So we're done with that item?
Yeah.
Okay.
So for this one, Julia, myself, and Ariel put 6 and 7, and the gold standard was 1.5. Child to play lacks spontaneity.
Which
what number?
95, sorry.
95, okay.
I also am realizing as I look through this, a few of them I just mixed up uncharacteristic and characteristic. As I was doing it. Like, I'm seeing, like, some of the ones I labeled 9, everyone else has done 1. And so I'm looking back at it, and I'm like, I just made this
flip. That's the death of a reliability. You know.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you can...
I made little stickies for 1, 5, and 9.
Yeah, I think the problem was I wasn't doing it at home. I was on Thanksgiving break, and so I didn't have everything that I normally have, and I was sharing a room with 4 cousins, and it was rough.
Whenever I cue sort, I'm in a room all by myself. I've got a table of this size.
It's an ideal world, but like for Thanksgiving, yeah, that wasn't my world.
Yeah.
And like for the
how about the bathroom? You go in the bathroom and you do it on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, when there's 12 of us staying in the house
together. And only one bathroom?
It happens. Mistakes happen.
So anyways, for this one, 95.
All right, 95.
Child's play lacks spontaneity.
Right. And you felt that it did lack spontaneity.
Yeah, I felt like it was all Thomas the Tank Engine. It was all one version or another, pretty much, of Thomas the Tank Engine, right? From when he walked in to... It was all trains, also, I felt.
Well, I think what was most striking was the entire last however many minutes.
Yeah.
He's reciting, probably from a book. Verbatim, and I think that I would call that sort of.
So where do people tend to? A lot of people did put it in the uncharacteristic.
Mm-hmm. All right, but the gold standard was 1.5.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, well.
I put it at 2.
3, 3, 1, 2. That's all within 1.5.
And if you look at the next page, what I'm saying is Ariel, Julia, and I all played at 6 and 7.
So that was where I feel like it needs to be discussed, at least, you know?
Right. So, 2, 1.5, so these three folks.
Right.
Who were they? Oh, you want to speak on behalf of?
Sure. Sorry, I just had to close the item to look at the output, so now I just want to put the... Can you read me the item one more time?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Child's play lacks spontaneity.
Yeah. I felt like this was a middle pile item to me. Whenever I put something in like 4, 5, or 6, I never usually feel super strongly that it belongs in 4, 5, or 6.
Mm-hmm.
More just that like it's not a super salient part of this for me. Sometimes he would switch between games pretty spontaneously, but while he was playing, I didn't feel like the play was super spontaneous. You know, he scripts a lot. He like what else did he do in this session? There's a lot of Thomas, and then the last like 6 or 7 minutes of the session is him literally just scripting. That's how I
looked at it as well.
Okay, so given that, why did you put it in the middle pile, not like in a characteristic pile?
Because I thought there were other things that were much more characteristic. You know, it's like a balancing act. This wasn't like the fact that it lacked spontaneity wasn't super salient to me because there was a little bit of spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to switch between play activities, you know, quite frequently actually,
mm-hmm.
to the point where I thought it was a little fragmented.
Mm-hmm. Which would be captured in a different item.
But there was a lack of spontaneity, like sort of not between games, but like in games, in what he was doing. But again, I didn't find it to be like a 1 or 2 or 3. I just, there were more important things for me that were 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Can I comment?
Yeah,
I put it
please.
In 1. I was the only person that put it in 1. Because when I had thought about it, and I spent a lot of time with 5 1s and 1 9s, but his play seemed very imaginative to me. Like when he was playing with the house, you know, he had a whole scenario. And then when he was just reciting the Thomas the Train, it seemed very lively. He wasn't just like, then Thomas the Train said this and then that. He was kind of like, and then this and then. Like he would be like,
The voices.
As if, you know, somebody was acting it. And
Are you saying that because you got that from the video or because you know Thomas the Tank Engine and you're applying that knowledge to...
I don't know Thomas. I just know what a scripting child looks like. Okay.
Well, okay, but we're coding this kid.
Yeah.
We're not coding other kids.
I know. This was the epitome of scripting for me. You know, the fact that he was doing all the voices and all of that seemed like, okay, he's taking this exactly from where.
How do you know?
Where it was.
It was different from his normal talk.
Yeah.
So when he was talking to the therapist or when he was playing, was very different from his mannerism when he was reciting
his scripts. It's his most fluent speech. You know, when he's able to talk in the most fluid sentences when he's scripting.
Reading from the script.
I'm saying, him having done this scripting takes away from it being spontaneous?
I guess, in my opinion.
And it even says, if you read the description, if the play is rigid, stilted, repetitive, or appears rote. I mean, rote is the same thing as scripted.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would tend, based on what you've said, I didn't watch this video this past week, but I watched this video in the past, and I remember it very well. I actually watched it in supervision, too, with the student. And I would give you some latitude on this. I think 1.5 is probably a little too low.
I think my 1 is too low.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is something I struggled with because I did feel like he was imaginative, but I didn't feel like rote.
Right, no, I hear you. So the 7 I wouldn't agree with. I think whoever put 7...
That was me.
Okay, I think if you put it in a middle pile, I'd be happier with that. middle pile or lower. But 1.5, I would agree, is too low based on what I know about this session. Of course, as I said, I didn't watch it this past week, but I've watched this session a number of times in the past, and I remember very well because of what goes on at the end. So, are people okay with that?
Ish. I mean, I kind of don't know what to say.
Yeah,
it's not, and I did feel like there was like a common theme between his plays. Like when he was at the puppet show, he was talking about moving to a new place. You know, when he was at doing the house stuff, he was talking about moving to a new house. And so, like, for me, it was repetitive. You know, like the theme within his play was either moving or Thomas. You know. And so that's where the repetitive and then rote with the script for me, it was like quite salient to me, to be honest. So I don't know, I totally get, like, it was imaginative, yeah, but...
Well, that counts, that
only
counts.
Because that's what happened in Thomas the Tank Engine, right?
What about the moving?
The
That doesn't moving? Come from a TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but it was imaginative, but it was also repetitive, right? So I didn't know which one won out.
So it should go in a middle pile, based on that logic, not a 7.
Yeah.
But not a 1.5 either.
Right,
that's
yeah.
too low.
Okay. I actually didn't connect the fact that his drawing was the same as Thomas the Train. And
yeah.
It was like a train and a plane. And
oh,
I don't know Thomas the Train, so I didn't put that it was repetitive. Like,
yeah.
He was drawing the same thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So definitely my one is like, I had a question.
Well, we've run out of time.
Well, I should practice stopping session.
Oh.
We have to stop now.
Did you hear that? Did you hear your voice?
No.
Well, did everybody catch that?
Mm-hmm.
It went up like a question,
ah!
Didn't it?
Okay, let me try again. Okay. We have to stop.
Yeah, or we have to stop now.
We have to stop now.
It's hard. It's hard.
She's my supervisee, so. Is this helpful? I don't know if it.
Yeah.
It feels like it might be helpful. Thank you, Raquel. Or is she off now?
Raquel, are you still there?
Thank you.
Thank you.